Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am sitting here with Rick Sterling, with both Dr. Don and Larry on the phone, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us here today live on October 23, 2021, for our program, or anytime on our podcast that you can find at the Blog Talk Radio website, blogtalkradio.com/SOT. And we're, again, glad that you've taken a few minutes out of your schedule. We're going to get to our program here in just a moment. But first, you can see our website at spiritoftruthministry.net. And you can see our secondary website, original website, at spiritoftruthministry.net/SSM. We'd also encourage you to go on to Facebook and look up Spirit of Truth Ministry Group, and you can find lots and lots of good things there as well. We are continuing our study into the changeover from the prophecies of the death road to the prophecies of the life road and all of the different permutations of that. So before we get started, let's have prayer. Father Heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we honor your names. We thank you for the opportunity to set aside an hour of time today, Sabbath, to learn the truth from the words of Jesus and from the words of God Almighty in the Old Testament. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for making it possible for our minds to be able to take up the truth, learn it, and then bring it to others so that the kingdom of heaven will be manifested in this world in the form of peace and prosperity. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's see here. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good morning.
You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm safe and sane today.
Well, people can say that I'm safe. Anyway, hello, Dr. Don.
Good morning. Good morning.
And are you out in the field or in Redlands?
Well,
or
I'm at home, but you know, I'm the old barometer. When there's a weather change, I feel pretty bad, and so I guess I'm feeling that thing coming.
Yeah, we got that big storm coming all up and down the coast here.
Yeah, so anyway, looking forward to a great study today.
Well, thank you for joining us, Don, and thank you all for being here with us. And sitting across from me is Rick Sterling. Good morning, Rick.
I hope that you had a chance to listen to yesterday's broadcast.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that afterwards, and that is a that is a keeper from the standpoint of how you explained exactly why we are here and doing what we're doing at Spirit of Truth and what it takes to become a member of the kingdom of heaven. If anybody has any questions, you can go to yesterday's program and it will answer them.
What it takes to enter the kingdom of God.
Right. Enter the kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God is the marriage feast the Son of God talked about in the parables of the marriage feast, the tenants in the field, and the invitation. Yesterday I talked about word magic and word casting. If you find yourself, or if you're talking to someone about a spiritual matter having to do with what the Son of God taught and what Paul taught, you may find yourself saying, well, I really like what Paul says. That sounds like the height of divine love. Does a fish bite a lure?
Because they're fooled into thinking it's food.
It looks like food. It wiggles like food. It shines like food. And it moves like food. Yet, is it food?
Well, as most of them find out, no, it isn't. Oh, and also, you can use live bait. And live bait is food, but there is a catch to it. There's a hook inside of it that when the fish takes a bite of it, they get the food, but they also get the hook.
I also talked about word casting. Now, you cast a lure connected to your fishing line into
your pole, into your reel.
To your reel, and you cast it out into the water and do whatever you need to do to make that lure or even the bait
attractive, yeah.
Attractive to a fish. The other thing that you cast, and this is as important as that, in fact, it's you can reap benefits better than you can by just casting in a lure or casting in bait on a hook, and that is a net. Casting a net. And you might think, well, now I can understand the lure part, your choice, but a net?
And you know what the, what'd you call it, the attractiveness of a net is? Because in order to get caught in a net, you have to follow the crowd.
You have to be with the school.
That's right.
And what are they teaching in that school? Yes. And when you're a fish, they don't teach anything in school. But you find safety.
Security.
In
yes.
Numbers. You know, I'm sure that you have seen pictures, videos on television about schools of fish that pretend to be a bigger fish. So all the fish get together and they swim in the same direction and make the turns at the same time. So it looks like it's a bigger, it looks like it's a big fish and not a school of little fish. Safety in numbers. A net is cast. And what, there's a term they use. In when you cast the net and you bring it in, you are harvesting fish, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you cast the net out and you haul it in, and every fish that was there in the way that the net came through would be in the net. And then you drag it up on the shore and you start to sort the fish. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of the heavens is like a dragnet cast into the sea that brings in a haul of all kinds. When it is full, the fishermen haul it ashore. Then sitting down, they collect the good ones in a basket and throw away those that are no use. Your Bible probably says bad. The good.
Give me the text one more time.
13, 47 to 50.
Peter and John.
Matthew.
Matthew.
Says the good, you know, the good ones are in the thrown, put in a basket, and they throw away those that are no use or bad or unclean. Unclean. So clean fish are good to eat. Unclean aren't. And the unclean are not thrown back. They're thrown away.
They're thrown away. Exactly.
This is how it will be at the end of time. The angels will appear and separate the wicked from the just to throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth.
The New American Standard Bible says that the angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous.
Sounds kind of like that parable he just told, wheat and the darnel. Now, when, so there it says the wicked from the just. What does the just mean?
Well, it's righteous. It is without fault.
When would someone be declared just? Would another word for just being innocent?
Yes, I would think so.
Right doing. Did the right thing. The wicked. Does God just go in willy-nilly, or has something occurred to differentiate between the wicked and the just?
And you know, that is a good question, because we have heard time and time again, God knows the heart of the people that have declared themselves for him. And as long as you declare yourself from him, God sees a good heart.
Well,
and he's looking on the inward side, not the outward. But
and Paul also says that if you have died to the flesh and you've been made alive through the Spirit and you are in him, meaning Christ, that you do not face judgment because your soul is in Christ and Christ is not judged. So as long as your soul is in Christ, you pass from sin into righteousness without ever being judged.
And the problem is he never explains what being in Christ entails.
Well, he says you have to die to self,
how do you do that? Exactly. What is it that you're doing here? See, the righteous are judged on, everyone is judged on their deeds.
Every occult organization, every secret society requires a death and resurrection initiation as part of their initiation. The text I read yesterday that I said was probably what I believe is the most important thing to know in the Bible. If you know this, you will know what righteousness is.
And Revelation 3:21 is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. It says, "He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Overcame what? You see, they will say, people will say in defense of this, well, yes, as long as you're in Christ, Christ has overcome for you.
Another word that goes, that is, means overcome is victory.
Victory.
Or victorious.
Christ has gained victory for you. So you don't have to gain victory for yourself. And yesterday you read from Matthew 5:17. And that proves, along with other things here in Revelation, that we are all judged according to our deeds. That shows that from God's perspective, the people who are in his kingdom have proved worthy by becoming as Jesus is, and that is righteous.
Well, they're right. Their righteousness is the righteousness of the Father.
Exactly right.
Now, Paul says this very clearly. He says that if you think that you can become righteous, then you do not need Jesus for your salvation. You can be saved on your own righteousness. That is not only a lie, that is a bald-faced, malicious, blasphemous lie.
Now, we just read Revelation 3:21. I'm going to read John 3:21, but I'm going to preface it with two previous verses. This is the judgment. And yesterday we talked about the judgment. And what did Jesus say judgment was? His words are what judge people at the end of time. His words. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. The light is the word. And men love the darkness rather than the light, for their intent was evil. No, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. John 3:21. Goes right along with Revelation 3:21.
So,
but he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been done or wrought in God.
And what you do
matters.
Comes from what is
in
your intellect.
Exactly.
What you do is what is in your intellect. It's the outward sign
of the inward
process.
This
boils down to truth and lies. I read yesterday from John chapter 8, and the Son of God said to the religious leaders who were the ones charged with the responsibility to make sure the people knew the truth, and they were nothing but promoters of lies and blasphemy. And how did the people know the truth if their religious teachers, their spiritual teachers, were espousing lies and had adopted lies? Anyone who holds to a lie holds to the father of lies, and the father of lies is the devil. Anyone who prefers a lie over the truth prefers the devil over God, the true God. The text, again, I'm going to read because it concerns judgment. The net concerned judgment. The wheat and the darnel concerned judgment. John chapter 12, starting with verse 46. I, the light, have come into the world so that whoever believes in me need not stay anymore. But there are people who prefer the darkness, and they have a way of supporting the darkness to change it in their mind as they're in the light. And that's what I'm talking about, word magic. So what the devil has done is he has used word magic by word casting. He cast his lie out to the world through Paul. And he cast that out. And that word determines whether you are good, righteous, or bad, wicked. Those lies determine that. It is the lies that make the fish bad in the representation of the dragnet. It is the lies that make the bad. It is the truth that makes the good. So if you say, well, you can't prove to me that that's the truth. You can't prove it to me. You can't prove to me that the words in John and the words in Matthew are exactly what the Son of God said. You can't prove that to me. Well, based upon that reasoning, prove that there is a God. Can you prove to me that there is a God? Because the only evidence that we have that there is a God in the Bible or in the ancient cuneiform texts or the Egyptian hieroglyphics or any of those that talk about gods. But using that reasoning, that ancient writing, ancient means of communication is completely untrustworthy. So what that leaves us to this point, we determine our own outcome based upon our own ideals. We do that. So you might as well say, I'll live whatever life I want to live and die and just accept what I'm going to say. I don't know whether it is true or not. It came from a reliable source, but that doesn't mean that it is true. So let's just say hypothetically, Colin Powell died this last week. And we are told that he died from I believe, yeah, right. But there's a news source that say that says otherwise. It says he actually commits suicide. And it goes like this. The account goes like this. He used sleeping pills to help him sleep. His wife says that he was kind of upset, despondent, whatever. They went to sleep. She woke up about 3 a.m. to find him not breathing. And, of course, she called authorities. His bottle of sleeping pills, which was full that night because it had been filled a couple days before, was empty. He had said earlier before, now I don't know if it was that night or before, this is what his wife said, that he was not going to let them take him and judge him. That he would much rather take his chances with God in judgment than with what he might get in a military, or what he would get in a military tribunal. Like I said, I don't know whether that is factual or not. It could very well be. Offers a picture of what I'm saying. You say, well, I'll believe what Paul says, and I'll practice what Paul says, and I'll keep my faith strong and live my life understanding that I will never be without sin. I'm a sinner. I was born that way. My nature is sinful. It's not something that I asked for. It's something I was born with. This is what Paul says. And I'll live my life as best I can and take my chances in the judgment. You have to, with that attitude, you have to have unreasonable reasoning to take a chance like that. I, the light, have come into the world so that whoever believes in me need not stay in the dark anymore. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them faithfully, it is not I who shall condemn him. Since I have come not to condemn the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and refuses my words has his judge already. The word itself that I have spoken will be his judge on the last day. Here's what I'm saying. You can choose to follow what Paul says and hope that God will cut you the slack you need in the judgment. But God will ask you this one question. Okay, so you didn't trust the fact that I am God and that I can preserve my word like I said, and you can read that in Isaiah 55, 10, and 11. But you didn't believe that. So you chose to come before me, bring forth evidence that you should have eternal life because you chose your terms for salvation. When all you had to do was say, well, maybe those words aren't trustworthy, but why would I take the chance? Why would I choose something that was far more questionable in its divine authority than what John wrote? Someone who never worked with the disciples, who actually dismissed what the disciples were doing and saying, the law, changing words in the prophets and in the law, and teaching something I never taught.
And it's not only rejecting Jesus's words, but it is rejecting the words of the Father, because in John 14:24, Jesus said, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the words which you hear, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. You are rejecting the Father when you reject the words of Jesus.
Galatians 3:10-14. On the other hand, those who rely on keeping the law are under a curse. Just that one statement right there, what Paul thinks about keeping the law. Paul said he was a Pharisee. Pharisees had a completely skewed idea of the law. According to the Pharisees, the Son of God was guilty of breaking the law, which put him under the curse, according to Paul's thing. That's what he uses. He put him under the curse. Now, Paul said that Jesus Christ came in the form of sinful flesh. Now, you know what Paul says about the flesh? It's very clear what Paul says about the flesh. The flesh is where sin is. Our flesh, he says, is sinful. It is where sin is. Our spirit, he says, is righteous. He doesn't say there's any sin in our spirit. It is only in our flesh. And that's why when we die to the flesh and live to the spirit, we're deemed righteous according to his teaching.
And this is a private interpretation because it cannot be proved by any other scripture.
So according to Paul's own words, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, in the form of sinful flesh, he was a sinner according to Paul's reasoning.
And so when God created Adam and Eve, when God created Adam, Adam had sinful flesh. Adam was not perfect. God created an imperfect being.
Then he says he's born under law, the way that Paul uses.
Defines law.
Born
right.
under law. Because Paul says, we are not now born under law, we are born under grace. On the other hand, those who rely on the keeping of the law are under a curse, since Scripture says, cursed be everyone who does not persevere in observing everything prescribed in the book of the law. The law will not justify anyone in the sight of God, because we are told the righteous man finds life through faith. There is the word magic. And the word casting. The devil casts out the net by saying, those who rely on keeping the law are under a curse. Huh? Well, okay. It says in the law will not justify anyone in the sight of God, because we are told righteousness, the righteous man finds life through faith. That is not what it says. That's the Habakkuk Pesher. That is not what it says. It talks about a righteous man's faithfully maintaining his righteousness. It's faithfully, not righteousness by faith. In fact, how can you have righteousness by faith in Habakkuk? You don't even have the Son of God. Where is that teaching? Why wasn't the Son of God saying that the righteousness was always life through faith? Why wasn't he teaching that? Habakkuk is in the Old Testament. This is word magic to get you to believe the lie. And word casting, where he throws out keeping the law. If you're keeping the law, you're under a curse. Well, I don't want to be under a curse. Well, what's he talking about? Turn to Deuteronomy. Let's see, 7. Deuteronomy 27, and it's verse 26. A curse on him who does not maintain the words of the law by observing them or keeping them. And all the people say, amen. So Paul is right when he says that God has cursed everyone who does not maintain the words of the law by keeping them. He's right. But that would destroy his main tenet of his teaching, is that we are saved by faith through grace, not by faith through working the law. So I want you to think about what Paul is doing here as we read on. Not even based on faith, since we are told the man who practices these precepts finds life through practicing them. So what's Paul saying except exactly what the serpent said to the woman? So God said that if you eat from that tree, he will put you to death. So you won't find life. You'll be dead. Huh. The man who practices these precepts finds life through practicing them. So if you don't practice them, what do you find? Death. If you disobey God, knowingly and willfully, You're dead.
Apropos of the Habakkuk Pesher, that phrase that the righteousness shall live by faith is found in Habakkuk 2. Let's see here. It's verse 4. And it says in this translation, but the righteous will live by his faith. But that word faith is Strong's 530, emuna, which means literally, listen, literally, firmness, steadfastness, fidelity. It does not mean faith as subscribed to by Paul.
Well, according to what Paul is saying, the Habakkuk Pesher is saying that a righteous man is righteous by living by faith. Then he's righteous by faith. But that's not what the Habakkuk Pesher says.
That's not
what
it says.
Habakkuk Pesher is saying the righteous man, not the sinful man,
no,
the righteous man is steadfast in his righteousness.
Correct.
That's what it's saying. But Paul, using word magic, is making it seem like Habakkuk is supporting his righteousness by faith when it isn't at all. And like I said, if that's what God was trying to teach through the prophet Habakkuk, why didn't the Son of God say that?
Exactly.
Why didn't he teach righteousness by faith? Why didn't he say, no one is righteous, they just need to be faith. They just need to have faith.
And, you know, I continually use this verse with people, John 18:37, where Jesus is in front of Pilate. Now, what better place for Jesus to expose righteousness by faith than in a verse where he literally says, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify that we are saved by grace through faith. Why didn't he say that? Because he said, actually, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, in other words, you have to already be of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth will hear my voice. Jesus never taught righteousness by faith.
And since, I think it's been 2005 or 2006, I have offered $1,000 to the first person who can show me that Paul taught the exact same thing that the Son of God taught, using the eyewitness testimony, the Matthew and John, using those two trusted sources, show me Paul taught exactly the same thing that the Son of God did. And like I said, I've had two or three people telling me, informing me, that they would be the first and that they would take my $1,000 just because they wanted to teach me a lesson. Well, guess who got taught a lesson?
The very first one that did this was a fellow by the name of John, and he lived in London. And he came back, and you essentially told him, "I'll give you $1,000 if you can produce evidence that Jesus taught the same thing." He went away for listening to our program in London. He came back a month later and said, essentially, you were right, I was wrong, send me your book. And interestingly enough, he read my book and then said, send me 20. I'm going to start a study group based on it.
We hope that John is still.
We hope that he is still going.
Verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by being cursed for our sake. Now, I want you to think about that. Paul is saying now, because see, Paul needs to use word magic, which the devil is giving him, to remove the curse that God pronounced on everyone who did not abide by everything written in the book of the law. Because then Paul is teaching that you can't keep the law to become righteous, to be righteous. You can't do that. It's impossible. So he needs to make it so that that curse is undone. I want you to think about that. God pronounced a curse on everyone who would not abide by the law, knowing full well that it was impossible for sinful flesh to do that. And knowing that he would have to backtrack, and the only way he could backtrack and undo that curse that he had so hastily pronounced is to murder his son, because that's what it would be. It wouldn't be an execution for breaking the law. It was murder so that you can keep breaking the law. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by being cursed for our sake, since Scripture says, cursed be everyone who's hanged on a tree. There is more word magic. This whole thing, everything that Paul does is word magic. It comes right out of the Council of Hell. They use it all the time. This was done so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might include the pagans, and so that through faith, we might receive the promised Spirit. That is word casting. It is a lie. Because pagans have always been included.
Right.
Read the law and the prophets. The Gentiles have always had the same opportunity that the Israelites had. Same. As long as they would circumcise their males, and as long as they would keep the commandments, the law, they would be accepted as if they were native born. So Paul has lied in every word and every line of these verses that I just read.
And there's another telling factor. You mentioned it. Paul, 99% of the time, Jesus, not Jesus Christ, not just Jesus. And even that is backwards. So what do you make of it? How do you function with this?
And who is this God that Paul says has given him all this information? He says that he did not get his teaching from any man, and he is including
Jesus. Exactly.
He's including Jesus. He did not get his information from any man. He got it directly from God. Isn't that blasphemy? Because what did the Son of God claim? What was his claim? He said, I speak nothing but what I heard my Father say. My Father gave me this message. He sent me down here, and he told me that the message that he gave me was the truth of salvation. And what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that That same God gave me what I teach. I only teach what he gave me. I didn't get it from anybody else. And he said, this is the truth, the salvation for the Gentiles. Now, Paul did say that the Jews would come around after they got jealous seeing the Gentiles worshiping their God. I mean, really? So why would God give the words to his son to testify to in the hearing of all the people that he would speak to, put him to death, as Paul would say, put him to death, and then be resurrected, and then have a whole different method of salvation for the Gentiles, and give that to someone who was actively working against those who were promoting the truth.
And you know, Rick, there are, and you mentioned it before, the Christian church, the Christian proponents believe that Jesus changed the message after he was resurrected from the dead. The message changed from...
That's what Paul says. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. That's what Paul is saying, that the message changed.
That's Romans 7, by the way.
And yet, no one, not one of them, will look at what Jesus said to his disciples just before he went back home. And this is found in Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. How much? But you see, if Paul, what Paul says is true, then Jesus did not have all authority.
Well, Paul also says that he asked about the suffering that he was having to endure, and why was he having to endure so much suffering? And he was told that it was basically completing the suffering of Christ.
Right.
So in other words, Christ didn't suffer enough to pay for the whole debt. So Paul is now helping to pay for that.
Correct.
Debt, his suffering.
So,
I mean, this is nothing but pure blasphemy.
So Jesus then said, go therefore and make disciples of only the Jews. No, he didn't say that. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Paul says that he was sent to the nations, and
he was specifically called to go to the Gentiles.
To the Gentiles.
With a whole different message of salvation.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Listen, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and to observe all that I have commanded you. What are commands? They're commandments.
Directives.
Directives. And then he said to John, and the devil was angry with the woman and went to make, in Revelation 12:17, went to make war with the rest of her offspring, those that keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
Not the testimony of Paul.
Not the
testimony of
Paul.
And the testimony of Paul is not the testimony of Jesus, and if you can prove that it is, I tell you, I still have $1,000 to the first one who can do it. But I would say that after, what is it, 14 years?
More, yeah.
So here's the thing. You've heard me say this, we're in the last days. We are living in the last days, and we determine our outcome in the judgment. It is that simple, and it's not a secret. It's not something that we can't accomplish on our own. It's exactly what the Son of God said. The judgment. We determine our own. He said he didn't come to judge. He's not going to judge the world. He didn't come to judge the world at that time. He came to testify to the truth. His Father will preserve his testimony for as long as it is needed until the day the judgment comes. And then we, the people, we don't determine someone else's outcome in the judgment directly. We, the people, determine our own decision in the judgment based upon what words we have accepted and what words we have rejected. Where we do come into judgment, the outcome for others is that those who have the truth and know the truth need to share the truth, not keep it to themselves to see whether it's right or wrong. You need to share the truth so that others will be able to determine their own outcome in the judgment. We are living in the last days of this reality. The transition is very, very clear. We can see evil making every attempt to subdue the people of earth under their authority and turn them into mindless slaves. But it isn't going to happen.
Mind-numbed robots.
It is not going to happen. Stay strong. Believe in God. Believe in the testimony of the Son of God. Learn it and practice it and share it. We are living at an awesome time in history. And these are the days of Elijah. And look to see what that really means.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here. We are encouraging you to hang on. My dog is half blind and she sees anything outside the window and she'll bark at it. We encourage you to join us next Friday for another edition of the Bible on Trial and another edition of the Revelation of Jesus next Sabbath at 10 a.m. We encourage you to go to our website at Spirit of Truth Ministry. You can read our book, The Spirit of the Church, there, and lots of good writing by Rick. We also encourage you to continue to pray for our ministry that the will of God will be done in this world. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you all next time.